fruits and vegetables and potatoes. Girl, you look so sexy while you're doing a damn thing that I want. Sex
in the kitchen.
Oh, it gets worse every time.
It really does.
There's your R. Kelly.
There's your butter roll.
Don't ever, you know, don't at Thanksgiving, never have the butter rolls at R. Kelly's.
Oh, man.
Got to cut out the carbs anyway.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Keto friendly.
That's what I call it.
Oh, jeez.
I got to say, though, R. Kelly. R. Kelly looks, man, now that he's going to McDonald's and he's smoking the cigars, R. Kelly's going to morph into, like, Refrigerator Perry before this is done.
Sherman Klump.
I think so.
Hercules, Hercules.
He's got that. Where's the sunglasses? He looks really cool in the sunglasses. He takes his sunglasses off. He goes, where's his eyes? What happened? They're like, they're all gone in there. All right. Now, R. Kelly. This is all new to me, like all of R. Kelly's girlfriends. This is all new to me.
Yikes.
I've not heard this yet, but I'm told it's very mind-bending.
Mm-hmm.
R. Kelly sat down with Gayle King. Seems a little old for him. They did the interview, I guess, here in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've just released some teaser video.
Right. Going to air tomorrow on the CBS Morning News.
Right.
Well, Gayle King with the scoop.
How about that?
Maybe he was hoping to get Oprah's number and get a couple of mil.
Yeah.
At least cash.
Although Oprah has, you know, she broke bad on Michael Jackson.
Yeah. She did.
I don't think this is going to go well for R. Kelly.
Well, she was being accused of being too protective of him in retrospect and came out very firmly against that.
Of Jackson. Michael Jackson, yeah.
Okay. So Gayle King came to Chicago.
Yes.
We now know this.
Yes.
And had to sit down with him in a studio. Not in the jail.
They're
in
room,
the studio, right?
They look like they're indoors. It's hard to tell.
He had a nice suit on.
Yeah, no, he's out. He's out on
right,
bail.
So this just happened, though. This wasn't like a week ago or anything.
It's good. He's just, you know, he's been freshened up. They're using that same technology you just described to make Samuel L. Jackson look like he's 40 years old in Captain Marvel. But here is R. Kelly and Gayle King.
They are still talking about you with underage girls. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had two cases back then that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Okay, fair enough. But
okay.
I will tell you this. People are going back to my past, okay? That's exactly what they're doing. They're going back to the past, and they're trying to add all of this stuff now to that, to make all of the stuff that's going on now feels real to people.
Well, that's not exactly a blanket denial.
Doesn't sound like one. And the reason they are is because you have a number of women who have come forward who are adding to that story.
It's right, not from the past.
From the past.
Yeah.
And the past, actually, in the case currently that they're looking at against him is 1998 to 2010.
That was in the past.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly was.
It was in the past.
Yeah.
See, you cannot... R. Kelly's making the argument, and he needs Mike Monaco here.
Is there a statute of limitations?
He's making the argument. No, not in this case. He's making the argument that if it happened in the past, it's not a crime. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear that argument made in other quarters in America before this is all said and done. And here we go. Here's more.
But the past is relevant with you with underage girls.
Absolutely, no, it's not.
Why?
Because, for one, I beat my case. When you beat something, you
acquitted.
Beat it.
You were acquitted.
We can't double jeopardy me like that. You can't. It's not fair. It's not fair to nobody. When you beat your case, you beat your case.
But I'm not talking about the one case in which you were acquitted. I'm talking about the other cases where women have come forward and said, R. Kelly had sex with me when I was under the age of 18. R. Kelly was abusive to me emotionally and physically and verbally.
Okay.
R. Kelly took me in a black room where unspeakable things happened. This is what they're saying about you. These aren't old rumors.
Not true. Whether they're old rumors, new rumors,
why would they
future
say this
rumors,
about you?
Not true.
You know, again, when a guy says, I beat my case,
yes,
it never
not encouraging.
Imbues the listener with a sense of innocence.
Yeah.
That's I beat so my true. Case. Well, okay, yeah, but this is a different case.
Yeah, he seems to think that if you were acquitted, as she points out, you're found not guilty. Not found innocent, but found not guilty.
Right.
That you're not you can never be tried for anything ever again.
And if you are innocent, do you say, I beat my case?
Yeah, that's all he's saying. He's not saying that what Gayle King is, I think she's doing a good job. She's specifically saying, is this true? And he doesn't say, it's not true. I was never with anybody under 18. He's not saying that because he married somebody who was under 18. So it's hard for him to say.
Under 17. Yeah. How old was Aaliyah when they got married? Somebody look that up.
Aaliyah, and then she wrote her first album under him was called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, remember?
Mm-hmm. All right, wait, we have one more piece of R. Kelly here. Here we go.
15. And correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. Why would I?
Well,
how stupid would it never be held for anybody. R. Kelly, with all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say
you're
holding.
That's stupid, guys.
I didn't.
Is this camera on me?
Yes, it's on.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
I'd check his basement right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Very specific details.
And sometimes people tell you who they are, don't they?
Well, first of all, you know, the how stupid would I be? That's like, well, how? Come on. Robert Kraft is worth $6.5 billion. Why would, you know, that's always the thing. And, you know, he would never do that.
Yeah. File under things that should have never happened. This interview.
Yeah, yes. This is not. That's a great point. He's not helping his case. And to the point of whether he did it or not, we have a legal system. But in past cases where young girls have been held against their will, remember there was the famous case in Ohio with the three girls. There was a case in Utah. In many instances, they'll be out and about, but they have been so traumatized and they are so they're suffering so much from the abuse that they don't run to anybody when he lets them out of the house because there's so much under his control. So just because. If you're holding somebody against their will and then you're out in public and they don't go running across the street, doesn't mean it didn't happen. We've seen that time and again. Where
and if they're underage, they have no business being there in the first place.
Yeah, but you know, and in some cases where the victims were finally rescued and they're asked about that, they're saying, you don't understand. I was told if I ran away, my whole family would die. I was told if I ran away, this was going to happen. It never occurred to me to try to get away from him because they're completely under the control of somebody who is a monster. So the how stupid would I be defense? The answer would be really stupid. Now let's move on with the facts.
Michael Avenatti tweets, of course, he's the one who brought forth a new alleged videotape showing him with an underage girl, and another, a third one that he allegedly has as well. He says, R. Kelly's tears are out of fear and despair because he knows that after over 2 decades of sexually abusing underage girls, we blew this wide open and have him and his enablers dead to rights. Justice.
There's footage in the Lifetime documentary in which he approaches an underage girl outside the trial that was taking place.
Right, and that actually...
So how stupid would you have to be to do that?
She may be one of the people who is central to this new case, that there is one girl who met him after he was acquitted and saved a dress with his DNA on it that prosecutors have now definitively connected to him.
I want to go back to the notion of this was in my past. He keeps talking about his past. So is he acknowledging that he had this problem in his past? Because if he's acknowledging he had this problem in his past, why is it not in his present?
No, he's not acknowledging anything.
What is he, when he says, they're all talking about my past, what is he talking about?
The trial where he was acquitted. That's all my past. But all happened then, and it was already proven that I'm okay. I didn't do these things.
Can we go back to the first cut, just the top of the first cut, Brian? Because he talks about Tukey. There's certain things he doesn't want to talk about. Because I think this is a reference here to something that maybe there's other cases he's kind of acknowledging, but he doesn't want to talk about because there were civil judgments.
They are still talking about you with underage girls. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had 2 cases back then. that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay.
Fair enough. But
okay. Stop right there. All right.
He doesn't deny it. Is what
you're right. He's saying that there was a, he's got two cases he doesn't want to talk about because then if we talk about that, then we're going to think that he's molesting kids and then that's going to come up now.
This is so disturbing.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We've got, should I take a break or should I stay right here? Hold on 1 second. All right, because Michael Avenatti, I think, is going to join us here to give us his reaction.
Mm-hmm.
To this, because this is a moment where, to Jen's point, Jen has made the best point of the day, maybe the week, perhaps the month, that this is the, that R. Kelly should not have done this interview.
Hour and 20 minutes altogether.
This is. What?
And how much are they going to use?
Hour and 19 and a half minutes if I were CBS.
And I'd be curious to see what Michael Avenatti says about how this could be used against him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He should do it on Sunday night on this edition of 119 Minutes.
There you go.
All right. Avenatti's going to join us on the other side of this. Let's check in right now. Andrea, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Well, Roe, Mayor Emanuel has a political commercial out.
All right. Coming up, the news that matters with Andrea Darlos from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Michael Avenatti joins us right now. We played just for you a few seconds ago the tape of R. Kelly's interview with Gayle King. It's going to air tomorrow morning on the CBS Morning Show. And I know you've already commented publicly, Michael, about some of this. It's kind of startling because in this tape, at least what we've seen so far from CBS, he does not deny any of this. He does reference some cases from before, but he's denying. What is your reaction to what you've seen?
Well, I mean, he said that he had sex with underage girls. I mean, he basically fails to understand that that happened, quote, a long time ago, close quote. And he clearly does not understand how the, I noticed, you know, again, I haven't seen the entire interview. It's going to be here in the next. I thought it was very damaging, his answer that he gave, at least from what I saw. And I thought his tears are driven by fear and despair. And the reason why that is because he knows that after over two decades of sexually assaulting young girl.
Unfortunately, the.
Right.
Michael, hold on 1 second. We're going to try to. Hold on 1 second for us so we can see if we can actually fix the cell phone here very quickly.
One of the other things he mentions in this interview that's getting a lot of traction in the teaser, because the interview is actually airing tomorrow, is you can't double jeopardy me like that. And you heard Steve Greenberg, his attorney, say that multiple times. This is just double jeopardy. And I want to get Avenatti's take when we get back. Because
yes, we've got him back now. What about this double jeopardy thing? You can't double jeopardy me like that, is what he said. And that his attorneys also
said
that.
Look, he may be a very accomplished singer and musical artist, but he doesn't know anything about the law, because that's not how double jeopardy works. He was not charged with the same acts or crimes stemming from the same acts back in 2002, if the trial was in 2008. He doesn't understand how double jeopardy works. He just simply doesn't understand it. He also thinks that somehow, because this supposedly took place quite a long time ago, that he cannot face these charges. I mean, this man is dead to rights. We've got him and his enabler dead to rights, and he's going to die in a prison, as he rightfully should.
All right, Michael Avenatti, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
All right. It is startling.
It is.
In this piece of audio from R. Kelly, just released by CBS. It's going to, the full interview will start airing tomorrow morning on the CBS Morning News. I'm assuming they're going to let a lot of it out over online in addition to that.
That's,
but it is
a good point, too, because you wonder, okay, even if they air 15 minutes of it, if there's an hour and 20 minutes, do they stream it? And then, because obviously CBS isn't just going to willingly hand over every single bit of information, but prosecution's going to want as much of that video / audio as they can possibly have, right? And
right.
If it's streaming, then it's out there.
Yeah. And you wonder, was the idea to get sympathy? Was the idea to go out there and tell your side of the story? I mean, it just feels as if this is going to work exactly the opposite.
Well, when he says you can't double jeopardy me and other things happened in the past, that has nothing to do with what's happening now. Well, all these cases are from the past.
Yeah. I mean,
and God knows what's happening now. And we haven't gotten there yet.
No.
So I would say that Mr. Greenberg might want to get some co-counsel, because I think it's going to be a very busy time at the law offices over there.
Oh.
I would agree.
I wouldn't be surprised if CBS ends up putting the entire hour and 20 minutes online, knowing, first of all, just, hey, this is the entire interview, but also, you know, from a business standpoint, they know a lot of people are going to want to see the whole thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. We've got, we'll check in what's happening after this very radio program after.